heaven going to be fun? We're going to do that all the time. Remain standing. We're going to read from the Word of God to start with. Jesus, our Lion of Judah, roars through His Word, through the reading and the preaching of the Word. So we're going to sit under that this morning. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll skip down to 9 through 13. 9 through 13 really proceed from 1 and 2, so that's why we're going to start in 1 and 2 and then jump down to 9 through 13. We'll concentrate in the latter section. If you're in the Pew Bible, it's on page 947. If you are needing a Bible, you don't have one, please take one. Let's don't do that sanctified, I can't take something from a church thing. We want you to have one, okay? It's our gift to you. There is not a greater gift we can give to you. So please take that with you and be blessed by the Word of God. This is the Word of God. He speaks in His mercy, His grace, His kindness. He speaks to us. We have a God who speaks. And He wants us to know Him. And He wants us to know His will for how we're to live out life on this planet. That is grace. So hear now the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll jump down to 9 through 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And now jumping down to verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. This is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank You that in Your mercy and grace, Your kindness, You speak to us and You meet with us here. And we ask that You would come and do that heart surgery with Your Word on our lives, on our hearts, on our souls. Would You, through the reading, the preaching of the Word, transform us more into the image of Christ, more into the kind of people that You've called us to be as Jesus followers. Would You do that this morning? Lord, if there's anything said or thought here that's not of You, would You, in Your kindness, permit it to fall by the wayside? And let us see only You, hear only You, and meet with only You as we come meeting together with You. So, Father, by Your Spirit, come and be with us in this time. And move in our midst, we pray, for Your glory and the good of Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. So some of you don't know me. My name is Joe Slater. I was a pastor here for about 18 years. And then a little over a year ago, rolled off the staff here at Covenant to do what is really happening across different campuses across the nation, called Reformed University Fellowship, or UF. And here at JMU, I get to partner with other great ministries like Crew, Young Life, InterVarsity, FCA, different ministries there at JMU to be bearers of the gospel there on that campus. So to really boil it down, you can think about what I do there on that campus in two ways. I'm a missionary and I'm a pastor there to that campus. And I tell you that because I need your help. We campus ministers need your help. As you run into students here in this building or at Walmart, by the way, Walmart's going to be packed this next week, okay? Just be forewarned. What a great opportunity to point and lead these students to Jesus. And one of the best ways to do that is point them to one of the campus ministries. And you know some of they're sitting around you. I see some fellow co-laborers here sitting around. Please introduce us to students and point them to one of those campus ministries, because I really do believe that's where their souls will flourish. So help us out there. I also get the privilege of, I don't know why the session trusts me to keep coming back and preach, but I get the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you on an occasional basis. And I recognize I'm here this morning in the middle of a series on worship. And you may be asking, as you look at the title on your outline, hospitality, what does that have to do with worship? And I want to tell you it has everything to do with worship. Because worship isn't just what we do with our lips on a Sunday morning. Worship is what we do with our lives in between and on Sunday morning. It's what we do with our hearts. It's a showing forth the worth of Jesus in how we live in all of life. Not just the singing that we do here on Sunday morning. And that's why Paul in Romans chapter 12, the verse that we just read, starts with these words. By the way, Romans chapter 12, 1 is a turning point in the epistle of Romans. We'll talk more about that. But he's just outlined the grace of God, all that Jesus has done for you in Romans 1 through 11. 12, 1 takes a turn and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. All right, put your thinking caps on now. I need an answer here. If I were to ask you, and I'm asking you right now, what is our spiritual worship? How would you answer that based on the verse we just read? Look back at your Bible. This is an open book quiz. What is your spiritual worship? Okay, Jesus, let's get a little more specific. Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. And Kitty, you said it well. Our lives. Our worship is we present our lives to you, God, in your name, to your honor, and to your glory. You see that, right? In Romans 12, 1. This is the foundation. If you lose me here, you're just going to glaze over the rest of the time. Some of you are going to anyway, but I'm looking at you, Copes. Yes. All right. The rest of this epistle now is a working out of what that's supposed to look like. You with me? From Romans 12, 2 to the end of Romans, Paul is going to say, here's how you live out your life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. All right? That's what he's doing. So, in Romans 12, 9 through 13, this little section now, we're just going to carve out one little section. In fact, from this little section, I'm going to carve out one little phrase. And we're just going to camp out there. And you're going to get tired of hearing the word hospitality, but I'm okay with that. Because that's what we're talking about today. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Seek to show hospitality. This whole message is going to be built on the thought that we are to be a people of hospitality. Let that sit on you for a second. I wonder, would we as a church, would you as a person or a couple or a family be known? Would we be known as a people of hospitality? Or is it possible that this is a calling that God has on our lives, which again is what I'm going to seek to show us today, that we've neglected, and maybe one in which we need repentance and renewal? You see, hospitality is not at the peripheral edges of the Christian life. It is at the heart. It is commanded again and again in Scripture. And I'm going to walk us through some of those. But I want you to hear, it's not something we can choose to do or not do because of giftedness. It is a command that we can either obey or disobey. And so we're going to focus the rest of our time this morning on what it means for us to be faithful to this calling of hospitality. Let's start with, what is hospitality and why do we do it? What is hospitality? Hospitality, this word right here in Romans 12, 13, seek to show hospitality, is a combination of two words, love and stranger. Love, philo, we get Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And by the way, if there's not a greater oxymoron in the English language, I don't know what is. Sorry, those of you from Philadelphia. I've been there, your cheesesteaks are great, but I don't know about brotherly love. Stranger, xenia. I've been told that a xenophobe, I got to be careful here, I can get myself in trouble. Xenophobe, you have a fear of strangers or a dislike of strangers, right? Okay, so philo, xenia, love of stranger. Loving the stranger. In pursuing hospitality, we are actively moving toward and loving the stranger. And this can be done with the stranger that we know, maybe even the stranger sitting next to you that you sit next to every Monday morning. You know their name, and that's it. It can be done with the stranger that you know or the stranger that you don't know. That neighbor across the street and one over that you've seen going to the mailbox for 5 years now and have never introduced yourself. Stranger love, love towards stranger, can be done in that way as well. Or it could be the classmate, or it could be the coworker, or it could be that person that you see in that cafeteria sitting alone, and they sit alone every day. Hospitality is loving that person or those people. Why do we do it? First answer to that, we pursue hospitality because the Lord commands it. And we should be able to stop there, right? If He's Lord, He can command it. And what should we do? Obey. The Lord commands, we ought to obey. He is Lord. We are His servants. Jesus includes the idea of hospitality in Matthew 25 when He's walking through the parable of the sheep and the goats. He's telling His disciples, those who are following Him, here are the marks of a true Christian. He's not telling them what gets them saved. He's telling them, here are the marks of a true Christian. And one of those marks is, I was a stranger and you invited me in. Hospitality is one of the marks of a true Christian. God has commanded it, and it's what Jesus' followers do. Second reason we do hospitality. We pursue hospitality because we too were once strangers. Leviticus 19 puts it this way. I think I've got this in your outline. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you once were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In that text, God is reminding His people, and in reminding His people, He's reminding us that we were strangers. We were in bondage. We were in slavery. And God, through Christ, came near. And He invites us into His family. He invites us to come as His sons and daughters to sit at His table and to dine and commune with Him. And one day He'll welcome us to His and our eternal home. That's hospitality. Jesus, God the Father, have shown us the ultimate in hospitality. And God says, you've been shown hospitality. Now you show hospitality. And isn't that the flow of this book of Romans that we're right in the middle of right now? Remember Romans 12:1? Therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God. Therefore, I urge you by the mercies of God. When you see a therefore, what do you do? Talk to me. You ask, what's it there for? What's about to follow is coming because of what just took place. I already told you, Romans 1 through 11, it's all about the grace and the kindness and the mercy of God. Because of that, followers of Jesus, now go and show hospitality. Why? Because you were once strangers and God welcomed you in. So by that mercy, by that unbelievable hospitality, pursue hospitality. Another reason we do it. We pursue hospitality because we are blessed as we do. I love how Scripture doesn't shy away from appealing to our pleasure and our joy. The problem is, we tend to find our pleasure and joy in the wrong things. Scripture says you're going to have your highest joy, your greatest pleasure in God, who He is and what He commands. And so in Hebrews 13, again, we're commanded to show hospitality. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, let me ask you, Amy Underwood, you were diligently writing notes and now I'm going to go ahead and mess with you. I know that was the look you just gave me. All right. If I were to invite you to lunch today and you said, "Nah, I'm busy. I really can't pull that off today." No, you wouldn't do that. But let's just say you did. And I could guarantee you, Amy, there would be an angel at the table with us. Would you or would you not cancel those previous plans that you had? You would definitely do that. How unbelievable would it be to come and be a part of a meal where an angel were there at the table with you? You would do whatever it took. What a privilege. What an honor to sit in the presence of an angel who's been in the presence of God, all glorious. You would do that. And the Scripture tells us in showing hospitality, there have been those who have shown hospitality to angels. We get to fellowship with angels and even Jesus Himself. In that same passage that I mentioned a few moments ago, Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, Jesus says this: when you do that, when you invite that stranger in, when you've done it to the least of these, how does it conclude? You've done it to me. When you show hospitality, Jesus shows up. Maybe we ought to start to live like we really believed. Acts 20:35, again, the words of Jesus: it is more blessed to give than to receive. What a blessing and a privilege we have in hospitality. Last reason, we pursue hospitality because others will be drawn to Christ through it. Matthew 5 puts it this way: in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. One of the best ways to let your light shine is to show that you value God and others above your comfort and your possessions. These others can be believers, they can be unbelievers, because the bottom line is we all need more of Jesus. I don't care if you're in this room or you meet someone out in this community. We all have the same need, don't we? We need more of Jesus. And one of the best ways to show people Jesus is by bringing them into your home, is by loving them. Hospitality lights the way to Jesus in this dark world. I want to read for you a quote by Rosaria Butterfield. It's a long quote, so we're going to have it on the board or the screen up here behind me. Important to this quote is that, you know, Rosaria Butterfield was won to Christ through hospitality. A pastor and that pastor's wife just decided to start loving Rosaria Butterfield, which, by the way, was a dangerous thing to do in Rosaria's previous life. It was a dangerous thing to do. And they just started loving her, bringing her in for meals, and the Lord changed her heart. And so she writes incredible things like this: my favorite day of the week is the Lord's Day, and I want to share that with others. Kent, that is Rosaria's husband, and I open up our home after worship and mercy ministry to anyone who can come. We must. We remember what it was like to not have a place to go after worship, the odd tearing away of the body as each goes off to his own corner of the world while the benediction still rings in your ears. It is cruel to the people in the church to have no place to go on the Lord's Day, no place to belong and no place to be needed. We must work hard to search out people who are easy to neglect or to overlook. We need each other. When we are too functional, we forget the point of hospitality in the home. Fellowship, not entertainment. Don't let pride stop you from opening your home. Ignore the cat hair on the couch or in the macaroni and cheese. It likely won't kill anyone as decisively as loneliness will. Add as much water to the pot to stretch the soup. If you run out of food, make pancakes and put the kids in charge of making that meal. And see how much fun that'll be. And know that someone is spared from another humiliating fall into internet pornography because he is instead walking with you and your kids and dogs as you share the Lord's Day. One model of how the Lord gives you daily grace and a way of escape. Know that someone is spared the fear and the darkness of depression because she is needed at your house, always on the Lord's Day, the day she is never alone, but instead safely in community, where her place at the table is needed and necessary and relied upon. That's good, isn't it? Know that someone is drawn into Christ's love because the Bible reading and psalm singing that come at the close of the meal include everyone, and that it reminds us that no one is scapegoated in this Christ-bearing community. Know that host and guest are equally precious and fragile, and that you will play both roles throughout the course of this life. The doors here open wide. They must. Scriptures tell us we're to pursue hospitality, and they also instruct us as to how we're to pursue hospitality. First thought there, we pursue hospitality by pursuing. Sorry to state the obvious. We pursue hospitality by pursuing. This verb in Romans 12:13 means to hunt or to pursue. The tense of that verb is an action meant for continuous repetition. The NIV has it as practice, or ESV has it as seek to show, and I don't think either of those are aggressive enough. Hunt it down. Pursue it. Chase after it. Move toward it. Make it happen and keep on making it happen. So how are we to pursue hospitality? We pursue it by actually pursuing it. And keep on keeping on. Second way we pursue how we're to do it. We pursue hospitality with joy. 1 Peter 4 talks about hospitality this way. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Putting this positively, do it with joy. God cares about the heart behind our hospitality. And please know that I am not saying that you wait until you're joyful to show hospitality. Because if that's the requirement or the prerequisite, then some of us would never do it. But isn't it funny, or isn't it wonderful, how when we obey, joy often follows our obedience? Pursue hospitality and ask God to fill you with joy as you do. Another way, or as to how, we pursue hospitality believing that Christ is enough. Because quite simply, He is. That verse from Hebrews 13:2 that I read, where we're to show not neglect hospitality because some have entertained angels. Just a few verses later, the writer of Hebrews says this: keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I think the reason these verses follow verse 2, that instruction to not neglect hospitality, is because the writer of Hebrews anticipates one of our biggest hang-ups in hospitality. and that is greed and self-centeredness. His point is money and possessions should have no hold on us because Christ is enough for us. And then lastly, we pursue hospitality as citizens of another kingdom because, quite simply, we are. Again, just a few verses later in Hebrews, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." We can live as aliens and strangers here because this isn't our home. We can love the stranger with reckless abandon because we have nothing to lose. And we would rather invest our time, our resources, our lives. And by the way, aren't they all God's anyway? We would rather invest those things in that which is eternal. Why? Because we have a city that is yet to come. Now, let's be honest here. This all sounds great in theory, doesn't it? Well, maybe to some of you it doesn't. But this is okay, Joe. Let's just keep it in theory. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to put this into practice. And let's be honest about those things that are holding us back. I mentioned one, and again, I've got it here in your outline. We simply hold on too tightly to our money. Our possessions begin to possess us. My solution or my answer to that is really the question that I asked a moment ago. Is God really enough for you? Is He really enough for you? Because we're only capable of gripping, holding on to one or the other, not both. Jesus Himself said, you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to hold on to, your grip will be tied to one or the other. Consider this possibility from Randy Alcorn. Maybe God has prospered you to raise your standard of giving, not your standard of living. That's pretty countercultural, isn't it? We make more so we can buy more and gather more stuff. And I think if you read Scripture, that's not how Scripture sees our prosperity. We are prospered so that we can give and bless more. Another reason we don't do hospitality, again, if we're being honest with ourselves, is comfort. We don't want to give up our free time. We don't want to go to all the hassle or risk the stress of communication and relationship. And both are messy, aren't they? Or at least risk messiness. My answer to that, or my solution to that, when I obey, God has something so much better for me than my comfort. Maybe the easiest way for me to put it is, what gets me off the couch is something better than the couch. Right? Doesn't that work for you too? So, this is the time that Joe Slater literally barely makes it. Because football has been so long in the past. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, baby, right now. Because it's coming back. And every Sunday afternoon, I will take my place, land on a couch, in and out of consciousness, mostly because I love the Redskins and I'm watching them, and they put me to sleep with their offense. I'm in and out of consciousness, and it's glorious. Love Sunday afternoon. But when I get that call that lunch is ready or dinner's ready, I am up and running upstairs and we are having our family meal. And it's what I love more than the couch and football. And that's what gets me off the couch. I want to dare Covenant Presbyterian to believe that what God holds forth for you in obeying this command to pursue hospitality is so much better than your castle of comfort. That it will be so much richer, so much deeper, so much more blessed to pursue hospitality. Third reason is the paralysis of self-imposed expectations. We say things like, the kitchen isn't finished, the house isn't clean enough, I don't know how to make pot roast. That's what you're supposed to do on Sunday afternoon, right? I don't know how to make pot roast. My solution and my answer again is, don't you know that God will provide for all these things? Do you see that you're self-imposed, and they are self-imposed? God has not said, thou shalt serve pot roast on Sunday afternoon. Thou must have a clean house before thou observest hospitality. The scriptures do not say that. Do you see that our self-imposed expectations are keeping us from obeying God in pursuing hospitality? No one cares about your kitchen or your house or your pot roast. They don't. The love of Jesus is what matters here. You show them the love of Jesus by bringing them into your home, it will overshadow any imperfections. I know this firsthand. I was blessed to go on a trip this past spring break with 14 or 15 students. And we were asked that morning to go to the house of one of the elders and have some fruit that afternoon after we did our ministry assignment up at the middle and high school. I was a little nervous about this because I wasn't, you know, we're pretty careful. You heard Lee talk about it. We're pretty careful about what we eat because the consequences can be not so friendly if we're not careful. So I was trying to think of all the ways to get out of it, and I really didn't have one, so I couldn't. So we were going to have to go. It was the bottom line. So we finish up our ministry time up in the middle of high school. We're wandering down the kind of dirt road that was going to lead by this brother's house. And we took kind of a side trail to get to his house. And on the dip down the hill, the little trail down to his house, was the neighborhood drunk. And he's lying down face down in the bushes. And as we go just a few yards closer, we're walking past the chicken coop, which is kind of connected to his house. And then kind of an herb garden and some fruit trees. And then we walk into this dark, kind of narrow hallway. It's, you know, sticks and slabs of wood and dirt floor. And we kind of turn the corner into what the kitchen is. And they cook and eat in the same spot. And they had kind of this old wooden table, a wooden bench, one or two wooden chairs that I was afraid to sit on. And then there were probably 25 of us because they invited other folks from the church. So probably half of us were standing. There were no plates. We had napkins is what we, you know, were able to put the fruit on. And they just had this spread of fruit out on the table. And can I tell you, it was one of the best meals I had down there. And it wasn't because so much time was put into the meal or the house was so beautiful and amazing. I mean, I just described it for you. Do you know why it was so wonderful? It's because we were loved in the name of Jesus. And it's one of my favorite memories from this past trip, and I'll never forget it. It's because this couple gave more than they could afford to give for us to come and be loved in the name of Jesus in their house. And if I asked them to this day, they would not say they sacrificed. He smiled the whole time, ear to ear. He was so proud and so pleased to have us in their home. We can do this. We can do this. The house doesn't have to be perfect. We don't need the pot roast. Peanut butter and jelly will do. Love people in the name of Jesus. Last reason is disobedience. We simply refuse. You're here this morning. I've given you five or six verses on we're to be a people of hospitality. We're to pursue hospitality. You can't claim you didn't know. Clear commands in God's Word. And we refuse to believe God can overcome our fears and our objections. My answer, my solution is simply repent. There's grace for you here. I struggle to believe. We all struggle to believe. Believe God can provide for you and ask God to change you and to enable you to follow Him in this command. A few applications. I'm almost out of time. Buckle up because we're going to cover these quickly. Few applications, really practical. First, start here. with this idea of pursuing hospitality. Start here. Start in this building every Sunday. Make it your aim. Make it your goal to meet someone that you don't know. And yes, I know you run the risk of meeting someone for the fourth or fifth time. I'm the chief of morons, and I do that every Sunday. So can we all just agree to show grace to someone who's already met you? Everybody good with that? Okay, no objections? So ordered. All right? We just all said we're going to show grace to each other. Start here. The moment the service ends, you're going to turn and meet someone. You're going to greet someone. Out in the lobby, in the parking lot, you're going to meet that person you don't know. And we're going to make it our goal. The elders haven't approved this, but I'm going to go ahead and say they're okay with it. That every Sunday we're going to do this. We're going to show hospitality. Why? Because Jesus has told us we need to show hospitality to each other. Every Sunday, let's do this. We can do this. Second, find a day, a time of the week. Maybe Sunday is like the Butterfields. That doesn't work. That's okay. Find a way and make a structure. If you're like me, if you don't have structure for this, you know where it goes? Circular file. Yep. To the trash can. You'll leave here. You'll be really inspired for a week or two. And then hospitality. Who preached on that? You'll forget. Make a structure and hold to it. Sunday afternoon might be the time to do it. Lock it in. Let that structure be your accountability. Have someone or have some ones into your home. Take them out to coffee. Take a meal to those who can't come out of their home. There's different ways to do this. But lock it in and let that structure give you that kind of accountability. And simple is okay. Disobedience is not okay. Pursue the stranger in this church and in your neighborhood. And it's okay to combine the two. And in fact, sometimes that's very strategic to combine the two. Students, you're not off the hook. You live somewhere and you can invite people there. Students, you have meal plans. Us people who don't have meal plans like those meal plans. You can take us out. Singles, couples, families, you can do this. Pursue the love of stranger. Third, very practical application, students. God's going to bring 25,000 here to this town in the next week. You know, God's put Covenant Presbyterian here in this college town for a reason, right? This is not by accident that we're in a college town. We're here to impact and influence and take the gospel to college students. That's why we're here. We can't neglect this responsibility. And this has been one of the greatest parts about Covenant's legacy, and I'm part of it. Like, I'm here in this church because 25 years ago, people loved me and others and brought us into their homes. Why should that stop? Covenant's best days of college ministry, honestly, were when there was no formal college ministry. The people of this church just loved students and had them into their homes. And I see no reason for that not to continue. Let's keep it up. Lastly, supplication. Let's ask God to make us this kind of people. In fact, look back at Romans 12. Go ahead and do that for just a second. Aren't there some great things in Romans 12 that we ought to be doing and living up to? Aren't there? Let's make Romans 12 our prayer list for the next week or two, or until you get tired of it. Maybe 6 months, whenever. Let's start to pray those things into our lives. And don't you think God would love to answer that prayer? Talk about praying according to His Word. We're actually praying His Word. That's crazy, isn't it? Let's pray God's Word. And I believe He'll answer that prayer. And let me start right now. Pray with me. God, we come and we ask You to do these things in us. We're not sufficient for these things. Lord, we are by nature selfish and self-centered. We love our comfort. We love our things. I pray that more and more, Lord, You would pry those things loose from us so that we would take hold of Christ, who He is and what He offers to us and what He commands of us. Lord, would we follow after that? Lord, that the nations might know, that our neighbors might know that You are Lord and Savior. Lord, do this through our hospitality. Make us a people who care about the stranger, who love the stranger, who contribute to the needs of the saints, and who pursue hospitality. Lord, do this for Your glory and for our good. And we trust You to provide for us in this. And most of all, Lord, we thank You that You loved us when we were strangers to You. In fact, when we were enemies, You demonstrated Your love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we thank You most of all for Him. And in that name we pray. Amen.